Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I'm also a broker here at StoneX. I work in the grain and oil seed markets with hedgers and speculators, producers and end users. Do a lot in futures and options, but also in OTC and structured products. And also for our corporate and hedging clients, we offer consulting services too. So if you have any questions for me, you can give me a call at 312-706-7610 or email craig.turner@stonex.com. Happy to talk to anyone who's interested in those markets. You can also always find me on the podcast. If you like the podcast, we always appreciate a positive review on iTunes and pass it along to anyone you might think might like it. If you want to check out my newsletter, you can go to turnerstake.com or just reach out to me directly. If you're a client, you hear anything you like, we need to put some things in action, please reach out to me anytime. And clients should also have my cell phone if you need to text me too. So let's jump into it. I'm actually going to be out of the office tomorrow. I'm going on a Boy Scout camping trip. We're going to be doing a little canoeing over the next couple of days. So I'll be out Friday, but then back for the full week next week. And next week we have the WASDE report on Friday at 11 a.m. Central. But first, before we get into all that, let's get into the macro markets. Technically, we're in a recession, regardless of what the administration and some news outlets may say. For as long as I can remember, through business school, my time at the stock exchange, my time at Goldman Sachs, and I got my MBA at NYU, and then my time at Daniels Trading and StoneX, a recession is 2 negative quarters of GDP growth in a row. That's the standard definition. That's where we are. Now, it could be a shallow recession. Doesn't mean it has to be a hard recession. I mean, the negative GDP numbers in the U.S. isn't that bad. Minus 1.6 and then a minus 0.9 or 0.6 or something like that. That's really, as far as recessions go, it's a soft, soft landing kind of recession. That is not a hard landing recession. So, sometimes you get shallow recessions, you're out of them before you know it. And it's nothing like, and there's no financial crisis to go along with this recession, like we've seen in the past, whether it be subprime, which would be probably the best one to go back onto. So, which made that a whole lot worse, right? So there's no financial crisis to go along with this. So I think this is going to be more of a milder recession that we have. And because unemployment is still high, or unemployment is low, employment is high, unemployment is low, and you have kind of a mild recession going on, as far as economic history goes, no one's expecting a repeat of the Great Recession. It's nothing to get at the moment, nothing to get too crazy about. However, what makes it seem worse, and also, I see this too, is the inflation aspect of it, right? So, everything is up in pricing. Anyone who goes to the grocery store or, you have kids and, mortgages, housing, pricing, gas price, food. It really is amazing how much things cost than they did just a year ago. So not only do we have this economic slowdown, but everything just costs more than it used to. And we're not just talking, in the margins here. Some of the products that you use in your everyday is actually kind of quite shocking on the how much some of these have gone up. So when you add in, let's call it for the moment mild recession, but you still have strong employment data, you do have high inflation, which is probably the worst part of the whole thing, in my opinion, and then the higher interest rates does make for a difficult situation, or at least a challenging environment maybe for the rest of the year. You know, as for the Federal Reserve, you know, as they raise interest rates, the hope is inflation, the structural inflation, you know, becomes less of an issue. You know, they don't want to raise interest rates too much where you kill the housing market, and also, you know, just and make the economy come to a grinding halt. So that's hard, you know, to do. And I think, you know, we'll see how the Fed proceeds with that. And then, you know, there is transitory inflation. There's two types. In my mind, I think after going through this for the past 6 months, I think there's two types of transitory inflation. And, you know, it's been a work in progress here, but hear me out for a second. There's the kind of transitory inflation where you have supply shocks because of things that are out of our control. Perfect example of that is you have no control over the weather. If you have a shortage in grain because you have one or two bad crop years, and corn, soybeans, and wheat go up because of weather issues, forget about the Ukraine thing for the moment. But even if we didn't have the Black Sea, we still would have had higher canola prices. We still would have had tightness in soybeans and wheat and corn. Would we be at like $7 corn, you know, $14 wheat, and, you know, new crop, $15 soybeans? I don't think so. But, you know, we would be elevated. You know, if the Black Sea conflict never happened, I still think corn would be five, right? I still think soybeans would be in the low teens. I still think wheat would be $7, $8, $9, $10, you know, it took the invasion of, you know, Russia into Ukraine to get those to the next level that they've all eventually went to. But there is this transitory part. And as Canada is having some very, compared to last year, doing a whole lot better this year with their crops on their two main crops, spring wheat and canola. The corn crop in the United States should be decent. You know, this is not 2012. You know, yields may come down, but you know, there's going to be a crop. Soybeans, fairly good. And again, there's problems in the Western belt, but the Eastern belt looks pretty good. You know, the winter wheat ended up being not so bad. Soft red wheat was pretty good. You know, hard red wheat could have been a lot better, but, you know, at least there was a crop. The spring wheat in the northern part of the United States and then in Canada, as I alluded to before, the U.S. spring wheat looks good too. You know, the U.S. counts for about 10 million acres of spring wheat. Canada is about 20 million. Canada is definitely more important in that game, but, you know, 10 million acres of spring wheat is nothing to sneeze at either. So, you know, those things will help ease price pressures. Now, there has been inflation. There has been an increase in input costs. We got what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. But so do we go back to prices where we were in 2018 and 19? I doubt it, but I don't think we'll be this high either, right? There's going to be some kind of happy medium in between there. You know, when we get back to solving the transitory part of the inflation where it is out of our control, and a lot of times it's weather, then there's transitory inflation. And this is, you know, this is something, a little bit of a new concept for me. I don't know, maybe it's already been out there, I haven't read anything about it, but for me, there's kind of the Mother Nature part of the transitory. But then there is policy decisions and that these are man-made issues, right? And I do think that these are transitory. I don't think that's structural. And, you know, whether it be, you know, some bad policy eventually goes away. And I think we're going to see some policies change over time. And it's most likely going to be centered around energy. Now, I don't think it's going to be a complete 180 reversal of what's going on right now. But I think there's going to be, just based on where things are going, when it comes to energy, it's going to be probably all options. You know, instead of trying to pick winners and losers in certain industries, the way things are going, especially when you take a look at Europe and energy prices, and when the United States comes out of recession, you know, Canada isn't there yet, but even if Canada goes into recession and has lower demand for energy, you know, North America combined, when you look at energy in the United States and Canada, you really have to kind of combine the two as a North American energy situation. When both of these economies in North America start growing again, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the demand side, from the demand side to have more supply. And on, the United States and the rest of the world has been releasing crude from their reserve levels. You can make the case that energy prices are lower just because of the slower economy. When the global economy starts growing again, and the United States isn't, contracting by 1% or 2%, it's actually growing by 2% or 3%. I mean, watch out. If they don't figure out this energy issue, it'll get a lot worse. So I do think there is a transitory part about the energy market. And the thing is, those things tend to change in waves, or election cycles, or just public sentiment on where things are going. And so that's gonna take time. So when I take a look at some of these markets, from the macro level, we have inflation. There is a structural inflation, and the Fed is fighting that. We have inflation on the transitory side, especially on the ag markets, which is gonna subside here. There are, Ukraine is starting to, they just announced they exported 3 million metric tons of grain and oilseed in July. Before the war, they were at 5 million metric tons. Right after the war started, the invasion started, they're only doing 600,000. They've been able to now get back to 3 million metric tons. The Black Sea is just going to be able to provide more of that in August. I wouldn't be surprised if Ukraine eventually gets to 3.5 to 4 million metric tons of grain shipments out per month. That wouldn't shock me, given that Russia doesn't escalate things, which they certainly could, but the way things are going. And while that still falls short of where they were, and it probably costs more because of the logistics to get it in, the whole humanitarian crisis of starvation in third world countries kind of comes off the table. Still may mean we were paying a little bit more for food, but not as much now. And supply isn't as much of an issue as we thought it would be. So that kind of recession. And then we'll see what happens around the world with your next election cycles. And I wouldn't be surprised if populations start to gravitate to an energy policy where it's everything under the sun. And you may have favored energy sources, but what you can't do is, pick winners and losers, right? And I think that's the way we go. And if that's how things happen at the end of this year, and start to trend, I really wouldn't be surprised. I don't like to talk about politics and government at all on the podcast or at conferences or in the newsletter, but it's getting to the point here where it really is starting to impact the energy markets and spreading into a lot of other parts of the economy and the ag markets and commodity markets. And it's something that needs to be addressed. And I think that's how we go down this road. So going forward, energy is going to be a major wild card. We are coming down now because of the recession. All right. And there is a recession. It's mild. You may not want to call it a recession, but technically it is a recession from an economist's point of view. And that'll take some time to work out. That brings down energy demand. Though I got to tell you, $90 per barrel during a recession, pretty high, right? I mean, it's not like, which just leads you to think like what's happening when we make a recovery, where's energy prices going? But that's number one. Then on the second, so honestly, if I need to hedge energy costs for next year, I would start to be looking at hedging energy costs for 2023 as we kind of dive into the shoulder months of lower demand here in September and October. And I think there's ways you can do that if in the OTC market with accumulators or in the futures and options market using the board. For the grain markets, I just think we are now in a seasonal time between August until mid-September, where you tend to confirm a crop. May not be the biggest crop, but as long as it's not a drought-stricken crop, you're going to take weather premium out of the market. I think wheat, wheat's the most sensitive because it's got the Black Sea issue, but if more grain gets out of the Black Sea and we confirm a big spring wheat crop, when you get that harvest, which isn't that far away, That's even more supply of high-quality wheat coming out of Canada, the United States, and Russia. Russia's a big supplier of spring wheat, who, you know, is also interested of getting grain and oil seed out of the Black Sea, too, which is kind of why one of the reasons why I think the Black Sea grain export corridor makes more sense and has more of a chance of succeeding, you know, compared to what's going on with Russia allowing energy to flow into Western Europe. So wheat, probably the balance sheets loosen. Canada's having a good crop. Australia is having like their second or third best crop of canola on record. On wheat, they'll also plant a lot of wheat. They are having a very good canola crop, but on wheat, Australia is going to do well. Argentina is hot and dry, so that may be, you know, something to watch, but there is more wheat coming into the market, and you have to ask yourself, should wheat be $9-$10, or should it be a little bit lower? For the corn market here, Eastern Corn Belt's right at the moment helping out the Western issues in the Western Corn Belt. It is good to see more grain come out of the Black Sea. Ukraine, you know, they said they thought they'd produce 60 million metric tons of all grain. They just upped that to about 66, 67 on the estimates. So they're still off, you know, 20%, 30% of where they were. Closer to 30% of where they were, you know, pre-invasion, but it's not the 50%. And the whole moral of the story is, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, and you're going to see more grain be grown and more exports be found. So path of least resistance between now and September, mid-September, corn heads lower. Same with soybeans and canola. What's interesting about soybeans and canola and oil seeds overall is the Black Sea isn't as big a deal as it is, let's say, for, you know, for the grain markets, for wheat and corn, because so much of oil seeds are produced in, you know, in Asia with palm, and then in North America with canola and soybeans, and then South America with soybeans. That's a huge chunk of the oil seed market right there that's less impacted by the Black Sea. Canada's going to have a very good crop this year, to the point where I don't think they're going to have to price ration exports. They still may have tight ending stocks, but there's tight ending stocks where you can basically get everyone the product that you want. And then there's tight ending stocks where you had a price ration. And I think the former is going to apply to Canada this year. So instead of having prices at 1,000 on the board Canadian per ton, you know, we could be seeing it go back down to 700 or lower come early 2023, because Malaysia isn't going to, the Asian markets won't be as tight for palm. Canada will have enough where they probably won't have to price ration. The United States should have a pretty good crop here of soybeans too. And South America is really expanding farmland. I think Brazil is going to be 4% higher for acreage next year. And a lot of that goes to soybeans. So they're due for a good crop. They could, they could have a record crop. So when you add in all of that, there's no more tightness in the oilseed market, which means soybeans could go back down below $12. Canola can go back below 700. It's just one of those things. I mean, if you have a drought, that's one thing, but we're not. Eventually, you get a good crop. And a lot of these areas are due for some pretty decent crops. So I just think you will see that kind of inflation come down too. You know, I don't mean to, you know, for our farming clients out there, I don't mean to be bearish. You know, I do work with also a lot of people on the buy side of these markets too. And, it was the same thing over the past year or so. I didn't, you know, for them, I didn't mean to always be bullish. They were going to be facing higher prices, just the way it is. You know, the flip side is now, like, it's, I got to call it like I see it. I think we're heading lower. Now, do I think we're going back to $3.30 corn harvest lows? No. You know, in $4.95 spring wheat? No. Like soybeans going to be $8 again? I doubt it. But we're going to come down here, and, you know, we're just going to have more product and better crops. Lots going to have to happen with what's going on in the macro environment, what's going on, not just in energy because of the recession, but energy policy, which I think we'll see change in some degree, and how that affects ethanol and biodiesel. Like, those aren't going away, but, you know, we will, you know, there could be some changes in other parts of the energy policy that, you know, may make ethanol and biodiesel a little less important than they might be now in this current environment. So there's just things to to keep in mind here. And if I'm a producer, I'm buying puts and selling call spreads to anything that you need to protect over the next 6 weeks. If you're not making cash sales, anything you plan to have in storage, I would be doing that strategy. And if I'm on the buy side, you know, you're buying now. Maybe I'm buying some calls just in case Russia decides to escalate things, right? It's a low percentage chance, but you don't want to be caught, you know, in that situation. But if I'm on the buy side and I'm a buyer of, you know, oil, you know, bean oil or canola or wheat or corn, I'm probably letting the market come down. It's still buying month to month, quarter to quarter. Maybe I have some calls just in case things get crazy again. And then if I'm on the sell side, if I'm a producer, I need to sell some of these grains, I'm either making the cash sales here or I'm using some option strategies. And honestly, I would actually start taking a look at swaps and OTC for those of you that qualify. And if you have any questions, if you do, because there are certain thresholds, financial thresholds that you have to be to get there. But using some of the 2023 OTC products and accumulators, kind of like, I don't know, I would say things that don't have knockouts that, you know, it would be interesting. And for those of you who just do futures and options, again, buying a put, selling a call spread, I think makes a lot of sense for either the summer months or into those November, December 2023 contracts. When you start to look at the acres and the production, and you know, if we have a good growing season overall globally, prices are most likely not at these levels next year. So if you have any questions about that, you can always give me a call at 312-706-7610. My email address is craig.turner@stonex.com. My company is making a big push for me to be more active on Twitter, which is always, I guess, good. You know, the thing with Twitter is it can hard to stay out of the fray sometimes. It's kind of like a battlefield out there. But, you know, I always appreciate how Arlen does it. He always seems to take everything in stride. So I'm going to try to get a little bit more involved in Twitter. I'm feeling I think we're feeling a little bit of pressure on that from corporate. And yeah, you can always check me out there too. So again, I'm out of the office tomorrow. I'm going to be on a Boy Scout camping trip. I'll be back on Monday, WASDs next week. Hope everyone is doing well. And if you need me, give me a call. Otherwise, I will talk to you probably Wednesday or Thursday of next week. All right, have a good weekend, everybody.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.